Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman.
Hey, Brittany. And we have Chris Garlock on the line from D.C. Chris, welcome back.
Always good to be with you guys. Greetings from the nation's capital. And I got to tell you, what a week. I mean, you know about this. This was going on all across the country. The people were revolting, as my old boss Jim Hightower used to say. But it was in a good way, in a good way.
Yes.
I tell you, here in D.C., we had so much going on. I think at last count, and honestly, I kind of lost track at a certain point. There was something like a half a dozen events throughout the metro area. We started out in the morning, first thing with this demo against the National Restaurant Association, which has been, you know, keeping restaurant workers' wages down for, you know, I mean, decades, literally. You know, don't even get me started on their, you know, the way they mess people over on their tips and so forth. Really awful, awful. And that was very cool. The poor lobbyists from the NRA had to get off their bus and walk. So we kind of blocked their way. I'm just going to say that.
You gave them a really welcoming welcome party. Little welcome wagon.
Thank you.
That's what I heard. I heard that you guys were gracious and you showed up and you were excited that they were there and you told them hello.
Cheering and helping them get some exercise too, right?
You're concerned about their health.
You guys could just be, you're such good spin doctors. You should come to D.C.
Yes.
But yes, we were very welcoming. And that was a lot of fun to get to see them kind of have to get out of their little van and walk through basically a gauntlet of folks, you know, chanting and so forth. So that was good. Then at 11 o'clock, had a great rally up on Capitol Hill on Fast Track. By the way, all of this is on our website, dclabor.org. We got a bunch of great pictures up there. One of our slideshows, you know, you can click on through and see, you know, all of these different photos from all these different events. And frankly, we're probably going to add some more because we've been just sort of flying by the seat of our pants, throwing stuff up as we can. But that was really just an excellent thing. We had labor was there, environment was in the house, you know, a bunch of our political allies came out to show their support. And it was interesting because, you know, on Fast Track, they were supposed to actually vote that out of committee on Wednesday, but it had just gotten so hot that they kind of had to delay that. And then, as you know, that bill did get dropped in the Senate yesterday. So, you know, all right, it is on. You know, we're, you know, it's we're going after this thing in a big, big way. And I'm sure you're going to be talking about it a lot, you know, on the Union Edge. But, you know, this thing is NAFTA on steroids. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't get, you know, what, you know, it's like climate change, right? You know, the evidence is in on the impact of trade deals. I mean, they are great. If you're big business, you love, there's not a trade deal that you don't just love. It's good. It, you know, it makes you money. If you're a working person or an environmentalist, you know, anything like that, not so thrilled, you know, with just turning over control to these folks. And the other thing about the Fast Track is that it's profoundly undemocratic. You know, they make these deals behind closed doors. All Congress gets to do is say yes or no. And it's just, you know, that's sort of, you know, the antithesis of our political process.
I just have to ask a sort of maybe naive question, but who makes this deal? If Congress can't actually see it, they just vote on it. Who is responsible for its creation?
The infamous trade negotiators, you know, a bunch of bureaucrats in a back room somewhere, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. And, you know, I'm sure that business, you know, they're either in the room or, you know what's going on. And, you know, we try and find out. You know, stuff certainly gets leaked, but it is not at all a transparent process. And one of the things you got to say is, you know, if this is such a good idea, right, then why wouldn't you want to have that debate? Why, you know, any other piece of legislation, you know, you bring it up, you take a look at it and make a decision. But this is something that, like, yeah, we'll work this out and then you can say yay or nay and that's it. So I think. Yeah, trade is a really complicated issue. I'm certainly no expert, and I don't, you know, this is not anti-trade. This is about fair trade, and it is not fair to do this stuff behind closed doors. Before I forget, we have another, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that's coming up, and you should just go to dclabor.org, because as I just found out, literally a couple of emails just came in. There's an event tomorrow over at the Northern Virginia Labor Council. They're doing phone banks, 10 to 1, I believe it is. That's on our website. And I just found out, I think NOVA's opening up their office to do phone banking all of next week, because frankly, some of the people in Virginia need some lobbying. They are not on board. Maryland, I believe, is in pretty good shape, and obviously our D.C. folks are good too. But yeah, this thing is going to be a real battle, and it puts us against, you know, Obama, who's been good on some other stuff for working folks. But on this one, we are not on the same page. That's just the way it is. So there was a bunch of demonstrations on that. And then we finished up the day with a bunch of rallies around the whole Fight for 15 issue, which, you know, we've talked about before and we're continuing to talk about. And this really is a national and even global movement. There were demonstrations in places like Japan because, you know, McDonald's is a global corporation.
Really?
I mean, McDonald's, Walmart, yeah, these are all companies that are all around the world. There's some great photos I saw of people demonstrating in Japan. They really do it up with the banners and the headbands. I love it. I wish we did stuff like that.
I'm going to have to check that out. I knew that, I mean, I knew it was kind of, it was a global thing, but I didn't really, I mean, that's partly me. I just haven't really looked yet. How I wanted to see how some of these other countries handled it, just because of the different countries have different labor laws as it is, and some places do pay better and treat their workers better and just have different standards than we do here in the U.S. But I still thought it was very interesting, the fact that this was across the world, that all of these actions were still happening that day. And Japan's a new one. I didn't really think about it, haven't really heard much about it, but I have no doubt in the world about their ability to just, you know, like signs and banners and just go like crazy.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, this is something that's been a long time coming, you know, these kind of, you know, Fight for 15, and then fast food workers, you know, and so, you know, and then, you know, Black Friday demonstrations at Walmart's. And I really think, you know, you're seeing a really global movement for low wage workers, who are just really just sort of fed up with being pushed around, and they can't make it on these wages. And at the same time, you know, you see corporations making record profits, the CEOs and the top executives taking home, you know, fat paychecks. And you know, if everybody was suffering, you'd say, hey, you know, fair enough. We all got to take, you know, tighten the belts a little bit, you know. But, you know, when you see everybody else taking, you know, way more than their fair share and saying, you know, you have to tighten your belt, you know, a whole bunch of notches, people are just saying, yeah, I don't think so. This is a great basic question of fairness. In terms of who does the work. So I'm excited and thrilled, and I think the next couple of weeks, you know, the battle over fast track. And by the way, I don't think that's a done deal. I don't, you know.
Oh, that's good to hear.
The president has a lot of power. Sorry?
That's really good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He's got a lot of power. I don't want to sell him short, you know. He's got a lot of power, a lot of ways to twist arms. But win, lose, or draw, this is a fight worth doing, just like the Fight for 15 mm-hmm. is. So it's exciting when you have a day like Wednesday and you see people out all across the country and around the world, and it really kind of renews your faith in you know, folks' common sense and their willingness to turn out.
Did you get a chance to head out to any of the rallies down in your neck of the woods?
Some of them. We were actually at a retreat, and I'll talk more about that in another week or two. Planning the future of the D.C. labor movement, and lots of exciting stuff coming up. But I think, you know, we're one of the things we're, you know, talking with all the local labor leaders is, you know, how are we going to be even more effective? Because it's clear that, you know, things are going to get worse before they get better, so we need to be prepared.
I agree. And it's that kind of seems to be like a theme today. I really do feel like this is a theme on the show, how we've been just talking about. I've been super Charles Fillin soapboxy. Like, I've just been up
Brittany's
on my...
got a prettier soapbox.
Yes, that's right. Mine is bedazzled and it sparkles. But I've just been, I don't know, particularly just fired up about it. And I don't know if it was just that this whole Fight for 15 rally I went to on Wednesday here in Pittsburgh was just phenomenal. And like, I was expecting, okay, yeah, a lot of people, I've been to a number of these rallies here in the past, here and there for different groups. But like this one, it was just this mega rally where everyone from all walks of earth came together, and it was just, it was respectful. It was very peaceful. They made their point. They spoke. They had, you just heard these personal detailed accounts from these workers. And we've just on the show have talked to a number of the Fight for 15 workers, and it's just really cool because of we've been talking and working with these guys for a couple years now since this whole thing started, and they had like four people, and these original, like, almost like founding members of the group here in Pittsburgh are now become these like figureheads for the movement over here, and they're the ones who are fielded out to the media, and they do a lot of the leading, and it's just so funny because I think back on these interviews we had with these guys when they first started talking to us, and they were just so just like real short answers, didn't really know what to say, didn't really know how to handle the questions, like deer in the headlights. And now I talk to them, and one of them was Ashana. She's this one of the 5 for 15 workers here in Pittsburgh. And when I was at the rally, I was about to interview two people who they're kind of prepping and starting to get into their media. And she just came running up and goes, "Oh my God, I'm so excited you're here. I'm so excited you came." And like just overjoyed the fact that I came down there to, you know, get some like media coverage for the show, but at the same time to, you know, like walk with them. And it was like different Fight for 15 people who were like the ones who we worked with when they first started like a year and a half, 2 years ago, were just so excited to see me there. And I was so excited to see them too, because I've just seen them grow through this whole process and like really go from just like, "Hey, this is a great idea, but I'm kind of scared," to like, "Hey, you know what? I'm okay with this, and I realize now that I have rights and they can't fire me because if I have union, I'm trying to do union work and get organized, and they can't retaliate against me." And it's like, it clicks and they understand now, and they want to build this movement. And that's why I'm so impressed with them. And they just make me feel just revitalized. Like, I want to go out and change the world. And I think that's a big part of my feistiness today, guys.
I think so. And I would have to say that this groundswell, slow and steady movement is what really gives me hope, because it's not just a flash in the pan. It started out small, it's growing every day, and it's going to continue on. So we have to run. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chris Garlick from the DC Labor Council. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.